And while you're opening there, you know, I just want to say I'm excited to be in God's house tonight. You know, I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I got to tell you, when I was listening to you guys give testimony, sometimes I've been in churches a lot growing up and also here on deputation. Hear testimony time, and sometimes it's hard to get someone to raise their hand. And it was great to be able to hear different, both younger Christians and older Christians, everybody giving praise to God tonight. I just want to say, you guys have been a blessing to us. Vision Baptist Church, you guys have been so good to us. The food, the fellowship, the friendships that we've already developed here, you guys have been so good to us. Brother Ty mentioned this, but we are both out of a church in Alpharetta, Georgia, named Vision Baptist Church. And you're the only church that I've run into so far. So I had you guys on my schedule, and I kept looking and praying over the meetings, and I saw Vision Baptist Church coming up, and I was excited about it. Felt like there was a special connection with you, and you have not disappointed at all. We've really enjoyed our time here. So thankful for everything you've done for our family. You know, when I get started here, I come up here and I talked about, you know, we started as missionaries a little bit later. We went to school initially to be nurses, and I come up here and I talk about, you know, when I started deputation, made that leap of faith. You know, when you make a leap of faith in your life, Satan really takes an opportunity there to show you your insecurities, right? To bring all those to the forefront, show you how you're not good enough. And I remember thinking back to when I started deputation, first couple weeks into it, I remember coming up here and getting behind the pulpit, and I remember being really, really anxious and nervous. And during that time, I was anxious, nervous. I thought about back to school. First, I went to school to be a nurse, and I thought back to the biologies. I heard a chemistry major in the house tonight, and all the chemistry classes I took, and math classes, and all those. I remember the worst grade I ever got was in speech class 101. And I thought, God, why you come? Deputation has a whole lot of speaking in it. I don't think you're calling me to the right thing. And I remember thinking about that. And I remember getting up here, first couple weeks in deputation, getting up behind the pulpit and looking out. I was looking for some peace, right? And I look over my wife, and I didn't get it there. So I kept looking, and I look over, and I see the pastor that's there, and the better missionary and the keynote speaker. Better missionary for 20 years, keynote speaker for preaching for 50-plus years, pastor there for 40-plus years, and not getting any peace there. The worst part about it all was the fact that they had all spoken before me, right? They had all gone before me. Everyone has preached their message, told their bit, and now I'm coming up here, and I said, 2 weeks in, bad grade in speech class. What am I doing here tonight? And I was sitting up here with all that lack of confidence. I remember going back to my room that night, and, you know, God really just knocked me over the head because I realized what you guys have saying here all tonight. You know, I'm just the conduit. All I'm here to do is open up God's Word. And I believe tonight, it doesn't matter what service you're in, if you're in the biggest revival taking place in the United States, or if you're in a Tuesday or Monday night service of a missions conference, every time God's Word is open, it has the power to change lives.
That's right. That's right.
And today, that's my goal, is to get out of the way, give you guys the Word God has had for you guys today. Get out of the way so you guys can take something home with you the rest of your life. Something that impacts you for the rest of your life tonight. You know, I didn't talk to Brother Ty about this before I started, but you know, I think about making that leap of faith. And I remember Pastor Brother Ty, he was a deacon in our church, Vision Baptist Church there. He had a very successful career, and he was working in a business there, and he was working. It was not convenient otherwise for him to leave and go to the mission field. And I mean, myself, I think about how I went to school initially to be a nurse, and I was working in the hospital for 3+ years, and my wife was a nurse as well, and kind of just uprooting your life and doing that. And through all that, I want to say just one thing. I'm just thankful that we serve a God that's taking attention to our everyday events. He's called you to something specifically every single day. Not just me, but every single person in this room. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that's so infinitely powerful and wise, but at the same time, He takes time with each one of us individually. I think about our key verse for this conference, right? And opening the windows of heaven. And two things I'd like to take from that, and segueing into our message today. First thing Brother Ty mentioned this morning, and he asked the question, is God able to open the windows of heaven? I hear that question, and honestly, when you sit back, you think, I mean, we know the answer to that question, right? Especially if you've been in church 50-plus years, like Pastor just asked. I mean, we the windows of heaven, that phrase in the Bible isn't used very many times, just a few. But the concept behind opening the windows of heaven is throughout the entire Bible.
Amen.
We see God over and over again. It doesn't matter if there's a famine so bad, so vicious in the land that you're willing to eat your own children. That he talked about this morning. It doesn't matter if she tells Moses he's going to take an entire Israelite people out of Egypt. It doesn't matter what he doesn't tell him. If Gideon's going to take 300 men and defeat an army, it doesn't matter what he says is going to happen. It always happens. He always wants to. You know, the thing is, I've learned through the Bible, is not only is God able to open the windows of heaven, but he wants to open the windows of heaven, right?
Amen.
He's waiting for us to open the windows of heaven. And so then the second part of this, and this is the part I want to park on tonight, is the fact that the only reason that God wouldn't open the windows of heaven is us, right? The only reason that we wouldn't have that opportunity is because of us not being willing. You know, if you read this passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17, those of you that have been in church a long time that know what we're going to go over here, David and Goliath, our key verses today are going to be 23 through 29. Chapter 17, 23 through 29. I'm going to read through those verses with you. I'm going to open up against in a word of prayer, and then we'll start today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through 29. Starting verse 23 says, "As he talked with them, behold, there came out a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. And out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw this man, they fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And he will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall it be done to this man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For whom is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27, the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou now hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and thy nighness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest seest the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we have an abundance of it here tonight with us, Lord. God, I pray that you get me out of the way today, that you give me the words to say, and that tonight you change lives. I pray this all in your son's name. Amen. So we want to look and see the concept of people not allowing God to open the windows of heaven and people that did. Okay, and specifically, I want to look at the Israelite soldiers, and then, of course, I want to look on the other side, David. Okay, in this passage of Scripture here, David versus Goliath. I mean, I haven't grown up in church my entire life, but I know that most of my entire life, that if I've heard this story, I've heard that David is the winner, right? I mean, most of us in here have heard David's the winner. I mean, if I heard this passage of Scripture in my devotions, you know I see David over here on one side, right? And he's coming up against a giant, and he's got a rock and a sling, and you'd think that's a dangerous situation, right? But I've heard it all my life, and I know what's going to happen, so I don't get nervous at all. So then I don't worry about it. My devotions, I continue reading through, and I keep growing, and I see on the other side there's this Goliath named, this Goliath on the other side, right? Huge. They talk about how big he is, how strong he is, and you think I get nervous again, but no, I don't get nervous at all. He throws that rock, and he hits the enemy Goliath on the head, and he falls down. He goes up to him, and he cuts off his head, and through all this, it sounds like a very dramatic moment, right? But again, I've heard it my entire life, almost. So I sit there and I don't expect anything out of it. He takes later that sword to then King Saul and he presents it in his victory. And of course, I've heard this my entire life once again. You know, the problem with hearing it, and it's a good thing God's people know his word, but sometimes I fast forward through the middle of the story, right? Sometimes you miss what God has for you in the middle of the story, and God has something for us in the middle of the story today. You know, the best thing about this part right here is in verse 29 when David says, Is there not a cause? This is a very familiar verse, very familiar missions conference verse where David says, Is there not a cause? Because that's the whole reason why he's doing what he's doing, right? David that day is on one side again, and he has a cause. And Goliath on the other side has equally a cause. If you read number 10. Verse number 10 says, And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Later in verse 25, in the very beginning of the verse, it says, And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And so we see Goliath is over here with an equal cause to show that he is bigger than God, right? We all know this. He's motivated. This is what motivates David. And David then gives the cause. These are key verses here. Verse 45 and 46, this is when David says, he says earlier, I have a cause for being here, right? But now he's actually telling them why he's there in the first place. In verse 45, he says, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to the knee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46, This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thee head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And catch this last phrase. This is where he says verbatim what his cause is. He says, That all the earth may know. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. No, he's not doing it there for God to open the gates of heaven, right? Or open the windows of heaven. He's there that day. His primary focus, his goal, the only reason he's doing what he's doing is so that the world knows that there is a God in Israel. And when you see it that way, I see the story playing out, right? And we talk about how these are historical events. We love the Bible because, you know, when you hear a story 20 years down the road, it always changes, right? Everything becomes a little bit more grandiose. But I love the fact that the Bibles are older stories that are exactly how it happens. This is a historical event here. And we have David on one side with a rock and a sling, right? And he's got God behind him. It's a lopsided battle, right? David has the advantage here. He's got God on his side. And then you have Goliath on the other side. And he's trying to tell, you know what? I'm bigger than God. And I always thought that the biggest enemy of the story was Goliath over here. But the truth is, Goliath is not the biggest enemy of the story, right? 1 John 4:4, someone referenced it in prayer meeting. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, right? Amen. The fact is that God has already told us, let's say it this way, Satan is not our biggest enemy of our lives today, right? God has already defeated Satan for us. Goliath, God had a victory of means established for the Israelite soldiers. All they needed in verse 32 is David to say, I will go and I will fight. All they were waiting for was somebody to be willing to go. So the problem, the biggest enemy in the story, once again, was themselves. The biggest problem was in the middle. The problem wasn't out in the battlefield with Goliath, but it was at the campfire with the Israelite soldiers. And today I just want to plead with you all. We have the same cause, right? That all the earth may know that there is a God, not only in Israel, but the entire world. And we are on the winning side. Amen. We know the cause, right? We know this is why we are here as Christians today. I mean, God would have raptured up. If he just wanted us to glorify him, that was it. He would have just raptured us up and we would have done that in heaven. But he has us here so then we can glorify him and that we can also go and tell others about him.
That's right. Amen.
And so since we're here to do that, that's the only reason we're here to be and exist today, then why aren't we sometimes are we not willing to go? You know, I just want to look through two different people. Of course, I'm going to look through the Israelite soldiers and see why they didn't go, why they didn't allow God to open the blessings in their lives. And I want to look at David and see why he did go. Okay, first of all, I think the reasons that the Israelite soldiers didn't go, I think they tell a little bit of it here in this passage. I think the first reason they didn't go is because they were already involved. They were already involved. Verse number 2 of chapter number 17 says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." Later in verse 19, it says, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." Later in verse 21, it says, "Now for Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array, army against army." And honestly, when I read the story in the beginning, I always thought that the Israelite soldiers were sitting in the back of the campfire, twiddling their thumbs, right? Doing nothing at all. But when you read through this passage, you realize that, first of all, they were trained for war, right? They were soldiers. They had the armor. They looked the part. They had the armor to be able to defeat the enemy. They had swords and shields and all that kind of stuff. Not only that, but they were also actually even getting involved in little skirmishes. They were getting involved. They were battling time and time again with the Philistines. They were so involved that when the true meaning for why they were out there in the first place knocked them over the head, they said, that wasn't my job. You know, we live in a day and age today where it's extremely easy to be busy, right? You know, I think the best way to illustrate this is as a missionary, right? Because as a missionary, I go to churches right now. And you'll hear my presentation on Tuesday if you're here, and I'll talk about how I want to see God do great and mighty things in the country of Peru. I want to see him, people saved, baptized. I want to see him train men under our leadership. I want to see him send them back out to the country of Peru so that in other countries in the entire South America and then the world, I want to see great things done by God in the country of Peru. And the truth is, I go to all these churches and I say this is what we want to see God do. And we want to see all this happen. And then I finish deputation, let's say, and I go to the field, first furlough, and I come back and I present to churches. And I tell them, you know what, while I was on the field, things got tough, and so I took care of my family, which is not a bad thing, right? I took care of my family, and I made sure everyone was fed. I took care of the finances. You know, a third world country, things are a little bit difficult, so sometimes it takes an all-day event just to take care of your family. So I did that every day, and you know, the next thing you knew, 4 years later, I came back, and everyone's healthy, everyone's great. Thank you so much for your support. And I came back down, and that's all I said. I think I'm going to have a lot of people upset at me, right? I just sat at home and I took care of my... Not an evil thing in itself. But why am I going to Peru? Why did God call us to the country of Peru? He called us there so the whole world may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, another thing I hear on deputation and also growing up in church is, I'm not just a missionary, right? That everybody is a missionary, right? That today, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, the reason we're all here is that the whole world may know that there's a God in Israel. And so therefore, that's our job. We are all, it doesn't matter if I'm going to Peru or if I'm staying here in Glendale or going to Phoenix or it doesn't matter where I'm going, we're all here for the same purpose. And so today, if I told you that I was just going to Peru to take care of my family, that'd be wrong. But the same thing applies to us today. You know, God has a big plan for us. Every single one of us.
That's right.
Amen. My dad always said, if you don't take care of it today, it won't get done tomorrow, right? I saw myself, I was convicted of this because I have my phone, there's all these to-do apps nowadays. And you look throughout your to-do apps, I have all these things, I'm a busy day tomorrow. And I looked through my schedule and I thought I had so much to do. And I started scrolling through it and I realized that God didn't make it on that list that day. And the truth is, I got so busy and distracted by my daily events, the things that were important to me in the temporary, that I forgot the reason I was here in the first place. What doesn't get done today won't get done tomorrow. I encourage you guys to remember that it's never a two time. If you're busier, I've heard this saying, right? If you're busier, what is the saying? I'm going to forget it now. If you're busier than too busy for God, then you're busier than God ever intended you to be, right? Another thing, right here. Next thing, I think that they didn't go is because they spent too long on enemy assessment. This is my favorite one. I think this is the biggest reason they didn't go. They spent too much time on enemy assessment. If you read verse number 4 through 7, this is going to talk about how big Goliath is. And there went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Then verse 25. This is the response of the Israelites. In the very beginning again, it says, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you not seen this man that has come up?'" You know, again, this is a real story, right? So we over here, we see the Israelite soldiers, and we're looking at how big Goliath is, how strong he is, how he's got an armor bearer. And he looked at it so long that when David questions why they haven't gone out and done anything, they say, "I mean, we would. But have you not seen this man that's come up? Do you not get how big this enemy is? If I went out there, I would die. If I had a chance, I would do it. But there's no possibility that I come out the victor in this event." Right? They said, "I spent so much time looking how big the enemy was that I forgot how big my God is." You know, if you look and see through the commands of God in the Bible, the most difficult, no matter what you... I mean, it's easy to see is world evangelism, right? I asked some of my friends for some statistics on this, and I didn't have them all with me today, but there's several statistics if you just start to read, and you read stuff about China specifically. All the cities with millions of people or more, right? I heard a statistic that said if you saw the Pentecost, 5,000 people saved every day in China, that over 1,000 years it would be until you'd finally see everyone saved there. I mean, I've heard the stat that says that over 50% of the world has yet to have the gospel written in their native tongue, which means that over 50% of the world is dying and going to hell, and the first time they hear about it is when they wake up there one day. And the good news is only good news if you hear it in time. The truth is, if I sit here and I start thinking about how there's X amount of people on this earth when I was first introduced into this world, and now there's what? I can't even keep up. There's almost 8 billion now. 7-point-something billion people. I mean, if I sit here and I strategize too long and I think about how different ways I can reach the world and I sit here trying to critique and figure out different amount of people we need and all this, how big the enemy is, eventually it's going to do a couple things, right? First of all, it's going to make you afraid.
Right.
Made the Israelites afraid that day. But secondly, it's more importantly, it's going to make you lose conviction about whether it should be even done in the first place. The Israelite soldiers that day believed that that wasn't their job. That they would do it if they were big enough. I can't help but look at David in the same situation, right? And see that he had just had a rock and a sling. This is a side note. This isn't the message, but today I want to think about this. You know, sometimes we say we go a pattern, we're going to start to walk and do something for God, and we start, and then something comes up in our life, and we just stop. Right? I think about David in the situation when this happened. He got a burden, right, in the beginning. He says, I mean, you can see very obviously in the very beginning of this chapter, he's like, there's a problem here. Someone needs to go out there and fight. He goes up to the king at that time, and he says, King Saul, we need to do something about this. And then they say, okay, here's my armor, right? And it doesn't fit, right? I think that would have been a pretty easy time for David to say, well, I was super willing to do it, but the armor didn't fit. Somebody else needs to wear that armor and go out there and do the job. King Saul, that sounds like a job for you. But David said, no, I'm going to keep going because this is what God's given me the calling to do. I'm going to keep going and I'm going to go out there with a rock and a sling against a giant. My point today is just that David took what God has given him to get the job done. And he just followed in obedience to the Lord. He realized that there's a bigger enemy and that's just himself. And he just needs to go out there and do what God's called him today to do. The last reason I think that they didn't go again is because some of them were not properly motivated. Verse 25, I've read it a couple times. I'm going to read all the way through again at the very end of this verse. It says, and all the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. He said, if you kill the Goliath, you're going to get great riches. You get the king's daughter and no taxes, right? I mean, it sounds like about as good a reward as you can get. But the Israelite soldiers were thinking probably the same as me and you were thinking today. And what good are great riches if I'm dead, right? What good is the king's daughter if I'm dead? What good is no taxes if I'm dead? You know, the thing is that today, if we're doing everything we're doing to get the windows of heaven, we're doing it just for the blessing. God doesn't want us to do it just for the blessing. He wants to do it for the love we have for him. The truth is, you have a missions conference once a year, and you might get lit and a fire lit under you, and you say, the world needs to be reached for the gospel, but tomorrow you might not be feeling that way. You need to be properly motivated by your love for him. This is low-hanging fruit. I'm not going to spend too much time on this point. But God wants you to be motivated for your love for him. If you're not doing it for him and because you love him, isn't he deserving of our love? We love him because he first loved us. My dad said growing up, he said, don't spend too much time looking at the ones that did it wrong. Do with the people that did it right. Follow that and emulate that. And so for that case, I want to look at David. I want to look at a couple reasons I think he did go. I think David first went because he realized that God would be with him in the challenge. Verse 47 is my favorite verse of this passage here. It's flipping back and forth because it's kind of one of those half verses. Verse 47 says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Amen. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I kind of touched on this earlier when I said that God's already given us the victory, right? David realized that God would be with him, and God's always been with him, and he'd be with him in the future. So whatever happened, he knew that his cause was going to be accomplished. That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. For the battle is the Lord's. You know, my dad's a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. Does anybody like baseball? Probably not. But anyway, sports teams in general, okay? St. Louis Cardinals fan. I like the Cardinals too. Bummer they didn't make the World Series this year. But anyway, I watched a lot of baseball growing up, and I remember watching it with my dad. It was like one of the fun things we got to do together. And I remember we were watching this one game, and it was the World Series, and we were watching the series play out, and then one of the games we had a miss. I remember I was super bummed about this. I don't remember what we had to miss it for, but it probably wasn't important enough. Unless it was church, of course, but we had to miss it. And I remember we left and we were coming back and we had it on VHS. It was that long ago. And so we were coming back home and I remember my dad got stopped by this man. He goes, Rob, congratulations, the Cardinals won. And he said the score, right? And my heart just dropped. I mean, anybody likes sports, I was upset at him. I can't believe he just ruined my day. But anyway, I'm still a kid and I was still excited to be able to watch it with my dad. So we came home, we popped that VHS in, we started to watch the game. Started watching it, and I remember specifically this game because I remember the very beginning, first inning, Cardinals went down big, right? And this is a big game. And I remember, you know, if anybody likes sports at all today, it doesn't matter what sport you like, but if your team goes down big in the very beginning, you get anxious, right? You start to worry. How's this going to work out for me in the end, right? But of course, this story was different, right? This game was different. I sat there excited because I knew what the score was in the end. I sat there anticipating the comeback. Instead of being anxious and worried, I said, go down by as much as you want. I want to see one of the greatest games of all time, right? I want to see, because I know in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and the very end of this game that our team is going to come around with the victory. You know, this is the same concept that applies to our lives today, right? When it says the battle is the Lord's. You know, God tells us in the end that we are the winners. And so sometimes we're sitting here in the middle and we start to assess that enemy and see how big he is. Maybe there's a Goliath that comes up in your life and there's some moment when the armor doesn't fit. Whatever that may be, you come to this point when God or Satan's bringing insecurities into your life and telling you, you can't do that because you're not good enough. Whatever the situation is, whatever that Goliath in your life is, instead of just sitting there anxious, we can say, I'm excited for the comeback. Amen. I'm excited to see how God uses my lame tongue as for Moses, right? I'm excited to see how God can use this thorn in the flesh. I'm excited to see how God can use it for His glory later on in my life. I'm excited because I know that in the end, I'm on the winning side. You know, David knew that day that the battle was the Lord's. God would be with him in the challenge. It didn't matter whatever happened. He knew that the cause was going to be accomplished because he had a God that already has the victory. I think another thing that you see here in this passage of Scripture is verse 37 says, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know, when I read this verse, I'm reminded that David knew that his past challenges were preparation for the future. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and of the paw of the bear. You know, the most impressive part of this verse is not the fact that David killed the lion and the bear. It's the fact that God got the credit for killing the lion and the bear. You know, I played a lot of sports. I mentioned it a little bit. I played them all my life, and I remember I grew up, and I trained for them, and I spent hours preparing to be the best I could, and my dad told me to be the best you can at whatever you do. And I remember through all this, I remember my dad always told me the one key thing at the end. He said, Mitchell, no matter how you train, no matter how hard and effort and energy you put in this, you're still 5'11", okay? There's always going to be someone that's better than you, right? There's always going to be someone that's trained a little bit more. There's always going to be someone that's a little bit stronger, more athletic, and bigger and better than you. And that's a true statement. It's kind of hard to hear when you're growing up, but it's a true statement, right? Yes. And your own talents and your own abilities, there's going to be a point when that reaches where, you know what, that's not good enough. It's not sufficient. And if David said that day, I killed the lion and the bear with my own power, my own two hands, my own strength, then when Goliath comes later on in his life, he doesn't know if his power has run out yet, right? He doesn't know if that's where he draws the line. But since he knows it was God that killed the lion and the bear, he realized that God was preparing him every step of the way. He realized that his power from his God never runs out. Amen. That it didn't matter what happened. He knew that God had been preparing for this moment. Are we giving God the credit for him preparing us each and every day? The little things Pastor was talking about earlier, realizing that the little things that God has a reason for them, realizing that God has a reason for each little thing in your life. He wants to take that little thing and prepare you for something bigger. Amen. You're not going to be ready for Goliath tomorrow if you haven't given him the credit for killing the lion and bear today. That's right. I always end with this part here because it's the part that hits home to me. It's the reason when I was reading my devotion, I made this message. I know it was a popularized portion of Scripture. I know when you're a young preacher starting out, I didn't want to pick a portion of Scripture that had been done over and over and over again. Look what I'm doing here today with you guys. I started reading this passage of Scripture in my devotions, not looking to make a message, and that's how I started this. And God gave me this last thing. This is why I made this message here, this last point. If you read through the story and you remember this is a historical event, right? I'm not even going to read a verse here because I just want to play out this event. And you see again, you have the Israelite soldiers in the background. You have David saying he's willing to go and fight, and you have Goliath over here. And then you see, again, the way I open this message up, you see David with a rock and sling. See him going up to the enemy there, cutting off his head, holding up the Goliath's head, and taking that sword later to King Saul in victory. You see all this playing out. You know who I always forgot about during that portion? I always forgot about the Israelite soldiers. Because they were there. They saw what happened. And it doesn't record for us here what happened with them. But I could tell you what I'd be thinking if I was them. You know, if I think about specifically here, when you read those passages of Scripture, verse 28, when it says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard." You know, I think about Eliab. I'm an older brother. I think about what Eliab was thinking in this time. When he sees this all take place, I can't imagine what he's thinking, but I can tell you what, as an older brother, I'd be thinking. If any of you guys over here are older brothers or older sisters, I think you might have thought the same thing too, even if you're younger. That could have been me, right? If I'm alive, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this happen. I'm seeing David with a rock and a sling. The same giant that I just previously, a few verses ago, said, "I would do it, but there's no way I can come out the victor. I know I have the sword and the shield. I know I have the equipment to get the job done. I know I'm trained, but I can't." Have you not seen this giant? Have you not seen this man that's come up? And then I see David, and I'm witnessing this take place. I'm his older brother, and I'm thinking, that could have been me. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of our theme verse for today. It reminds me of that the only person that's stopping us from the blessings is ourself. God wanted just somebody to go, to realize that there was a cause we're fighting for. David didn't do anything special that day. He went out there with a rock and a sling. There were several more people that were more prepared for him, that prepared for the battle, but he just said, "I'm going to take what God has given me, and I'm going to go." The cause is important. The reason we're here, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. My question today is, we know the cause. Let me make it personal. What is our part in that cause? Everybody's part looks a little different. It doesn't mean that you have to go across the world, but it might. It doesn't mean that you need to go and tell the next city over. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter that you need to go and tell people in Utah or people in New York, but it might. I can tell you one thing, it is telling us that we need to tell our neighbor, that we need to tell our that family member. Because eternity is forever and hell is real. And there are souls going there forever. Guys, there are souls going there forever. We're here for one reason, right? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. We have so much life still left on this earth. Would God maybe call you to a foreign field? Or maybe just across the street? We know the cause. Today, I just ask the question, what is my part? I'm going to end the word of prayer and hand it back over to Pastor. And I thank you so much for your attention tonight. Generally, Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that we have a cause worth fighting for. I thank you so much that we have a God that loves us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And today, God, please help us to remember what we're here to do in the first place. Please help us have a burden for the lost. Please help us to see souls saved. I pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.